Welcome to Christ's Blessing, everyone. You are so welcome to come to this altar, this moment in time where we meet the Christ, not just the Christ energy, but the Christ person, the presence of the living soul that envelops us and lifts us and inspires us to be all that we can be, not just a physical incarnation of a person, but the living soul that has always been part of God and will always be, regardless of what mistakes we may have made or wrong turns we may have taken. We can always find the inner light and return to the living soul that we are. And unfortunately, sometimes we stay pretty hung up in the story or the physical presence, that part of us that's living out our life situation. We can stay pretty hung up in it because we just know if we hang on with this a little longer, we can correct all the mistakes, or we can prevent mistakes from occurring, or at least we made a commitment, and even if it's not serving life all that well, by golly, I'm going to hang in there. In no way did Yeshua or the Christ encourage us to abandon our responsibilities or the things we've taken on or our challenges or our talents in their application. As a matter of fact, his teachings are filled with encouragement to take on both responsibility and creativity in our life. But sometimes just being human, we do make the wrong turn, or we may wind up in a place we feel is, and I don't mean just a geographical place. It could be an inner place. It could be a life situation place. We could wind up in a place that just doesn't feel right to us. It doesn't bring out the best in us. We strive to create our way through it, and no matter how hard we try, we seem to be on some kind of perpetual hamster wheel of a very big scale, and things just keep repeating on us. Well, what he encouraged us to know is that the living soul that we are is free of all these stories and free of all these byways and pathways that we feel that we have to stay in. As a matter of fact, he taught the apostles on several occasions that if you want to follow me, you're going to have to leave behind all these, leave behind your family and perhaps your brothers and your life's work. You may have to leave that behind. Now, you may say, well, Glenda, how does that apply today? Because he's not here, and I'm not going to put on sandals and walk behind him on the pathways of Galilee. So what does that mean, follow me? Well, what it means is become the living soul that you are. Follow his life model. That doesn't mean that you have to be a sacrificial lamb. Just what was his life model? He was always tempted, well, not always, but many times, he was tempted to take on what we might call an in-the-world path. He could become the leader of a nation. He could become great and wealthy as an influence of his generation, possibly a military leader, all the things that we, from inside our life story, we could aspire to become. And it's not to say that we would be wrong for aspiring to that, but for him, it would have been wrong because he started on his life path as the living soul that he is. So for him, it would have been walking backwards. But when he talked to the apostles and encouraged them to follow him, he asked them to leave those life paths. And he didn't tell them to go tie up all the loose ends and then follow me. He just said, let him go, follow me. When I think the importance of that without using it as a justification for abandonment of anything or anyone, because that's not what he was referring to, but just the essence of that is that to be the living soul that you are is your purpose, by comparison to which everything else pales and loses significance. Now, here's the question. Can you be the living soul that you are and still be a teacher, a healer, a mother, a parent, a truck driver, an accountant, an artist? Of course you can. You will just be all of those things from a different perspective, doing it for different reasons, applying what you do to a larger horizon that lifts you out of the conflict and the mud ruts that you've been spinning out in. And do you think if you took that higher path, you might experience a lot of healing? Maybe not everything would clear up all at once. But just look at it this way. Let's use a modern comparison. A big problem that many people are in. They're in debt. And they're being swamped by the debt. Do you think if you just got one chunk of that paid off, you would feel so much more able to handle the rest? What if you just got a raise at work? Would you have the opportunity to disperse your funds in more creative, more healthy ways? Would you be able to get that better diet, those better supplements, take time off during the day to do something really healthy, maybe have a little vacation? Of course you would. So sometimes when God gives his blessings to us, it doesn't fix everything, because I think that God does not want to lift us out of the challenge completely for being responsible for our life. But God will lift us to a higher plane where our perspective on our problems will change. Our insight on what to do about them will improve. And the reserve of energy that we have in dwelling in ourself will expand. And we will see that as a living soul, so many more options are open to us. Will the challenges in life stop? No, not at all. If you think they will, just read a good book on the life of the apostles. They're, because they knew Christ and followed him and served him, and in their own way were miraculous men and women. The challenges didn't stop, but they had a different perspective on them. And I think another analogy to that is the difference between pain and suffering. Will we go through life without pain? I seriously doubt it. If only just falling down and maybe breaking a tooth, or we're just playing with our great new adult toy, this motorcycle we got, and we've run into a tree. You know, we might have a broken arm. It'll hurt. But the difference between pain and suffering is that suffering encourages the pain. As something we dwell on, perhaps at times we use it for justifying why, well, I shouldn't have ridden, I shouldn't have done that. I should have been watching where I was going. I should never have gotten that motorbike. I should never have done, I should never have been driving late at night when I was tired. I should have had my teeth cleaned more frequently and other repairs done. I'd have never had this root canal. Suffering is what we magnify our pain with in order to teach ourselves a lesson or to flog ourselves at times. Sometimes we do it to punish others. which is incredibly unfortunate because it only hurts ourselves. Sometimes we do it to gain sympathy because we feel, well, if we're in pain but not showing it to anyone, well, we won't get any assistance. No one will jump in and help to take care of us. So we have a much more persuasive presentation, shall we say. If we escalate the pain into suffering, well, I can tell you right now from personal experience as well as the wisdom of the masters, and I would say virtually all of them, I can't remember ever reading about the life of a saint, most certainly not Yeshua or Buddha or any of the other great teachers, who said suffering will enhance your enlightenment. Suffering will make you more worthy to live. I have never read that from anyone. As a matter of fact, all the men and women of wisdom I have ever studied or read said that the beginning of enlightenment is the release of all suffering. There are a lot of masters of the Far East who practice things like judo and karate and kung fu and a lot of the martial arts who have really learned how to endure phenomenal amounts of pain and virtually not even feel it because they don't allow it into their consciousness. And they know that by not allowing it into their consciousness, that pain will also not trigger the various pain responses in the brain and the central nervous system that actually escalate and multiply our many illnesses. We've got a very, very wrong understanding of, well, if it hurts enough, then my body will make it a priority, and then my body will heal it, because, after all, nobody wants to be in pain, and pain, the settling of pain has to come first. Actually, as a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. The more we suffer, have you noticed, the more people avoid you? It's sad, but it's true. There aren't that many people on this earth who've really come to the point of turning love into compassion. You see, love, I think love, and Yeshua tells us, love is innate to all of us. We are love. We were born as love, and to love at least some things in our life is the most natural thing in the world. But compassion now is something I think that very, very few people are born with. I have observed that compassion grows with maturity. It grows with surrendering of the ego. It grows with surrender of one's own suffering while actually respecting and being tolerant of the suffering of others. Because we all feel for their pain, but wouldn't you sometimes like to turn down the suffering that somebody is having? Compassion tells you not to do that. Let them be where they need to be and respect it. Today, in this message, is a little different because I know that I'm addressing people who want answers. You want to receive a healing. And you're going to receive, so let's just put it in physical terms. You're going to receive 120 kilowatts of energy that God has designated for your healing. Do you want that to go to your healing, or do you want that to go to your suffering? Think about it. When someone comes to help you, do you want them to heal you, or do you want them to indulge your suffering? What is it you want? There are so many people that perpetuate their pain because they're indulging their suffering. Every kilowatt of energy they give, they direct to the suffering. And not one kilowatt to remedial actions for their pain. Partly because they've come to confuse the two and not realize that the two are different. Well, in the same way, the living soul really does endow the whole life, the love, and the consciousness that you experience as a physical human person. But yet, the living soul will outlive the human physical person, and the living soul preceded it. And it really helps us to get through life to know that in the physical plane, all these things will pass. All too soon, the good things will pass, but all the bad things will pass as well. But where we store our riches within the living soul will not pass. That will last. And this is what Yeshua was talking about when he said, store up your treasures in heaven. He didn't mean to send them by a special UPS delivery truck up to the heavenly palace to put treasures in the palace of God, who doesn't need our addition of treasures in his infinite wealth. What Yeshua was referring to was the heaven of your being. As he said, the kingdom of heaven is in you, and it's with you. You are the kingdom of heaven. You personify it in the living soul. Invest your time and earth in those things that you will carry with you. The things that when you are in heaven, the palace of heaven, you will be able to connect with yourself and say, oh, that was a magnificent day. I so loved it when I just looked at the blue sky and the green earth. I felt the love of my friends. I felt the love of God. I read this great book, and it was full of so many truths I wanted to know. In other words, store your treasure in the kingdom of heaven within. Look at your priorities. Are you focusing your energy on and your time and your attention on the kingdom of heaven within? Are you using it to fret over issues in life that may have no easy answer right now? Sometimes we just have to live with these issues in life for a while until the kaleidoscope turns a little bit and a new pattern, a new opportunity presents itself. Sometimes we just have to stay in this job that's okay, it pays the bills, but it's not getting us anywhere. But by staying with it, while we build the treasures in the kingdom of heaven, our greater soul, the living soul that we are, we will be in a place to utilize those opportunities when they come around. We'll be in a place to really apply new healing remedies when they come around. We'll be able to recognize this great, wonderful new friend when he or she appears. Or this great new idea or creativity, when it comes, we'll recognize it because we have been furnishing the palace of our soul and not just struggling over issues with the physical. So much of the blessing will go to furnish the palace of your soul. Some of it will go directly to healing issues or financial issues or issues of personal despair, of loss, of grief, or perhaps aloneness. We pray for all of these things. And God knows you need all of these things. I think the most important thing is that he's hoping you'll find them through your own living soul. You know, just to make a comparison with in-life statistics, it has actually been determined that people who have more education and have devoted more of their life to spiritual pursuits, who have traveled more and who have an active social life and a positive family life. These are all the things that really feed upon the, what you might say, the living soul. These people are healthier and they live longer, as much as 10 years longer. The people who have focused their life entirely upon the struggles of existence have a much shorter life, far less meaningful, far more illnesses, and far more chronic problems that just recirculate back into suffering. Now, the reason I wanted to say that is because I think, really, there's a fundamental decision we have to make, and God can't make it for us. And that fundamental decision has a lot to do with where the blessings go when we receive them. That fundamental decision is, do I want to suffer, or do I want to minimize my suffering to the best I can, so that the only thing I have to feel is pain occasionally when circumstances create it? We can all say that. We could all make that choice. Right now, we could make that choice. And in making that choice, you know what? It's not a selfish choice. It's a choice that will make life better for everyone around you. There's also a very similar, same choice. And that is, do I want to focus my life upon the fruits and the rewards and the desires of the living soul that I am? Or do I want to keep struggling with my life issues in the physical plane? Where do I want to put my attention and my energy? That's a choice that only you can make for yourself. God cannot make that choice for you. And I can tell you from experience that making the choice for focusing upon, focusing on your in-life physical worldly challenges as opposed to the work of the living soul. These in-life challenges are like high-interest credit cards. They don't just soak your energy. They multiply it. It's like compound interest in a negative sense. This is where we actually enter the entropy of the universe. And it eats our life like a black hole. When we make that choice to live the life of a living soul, we move out of that negative vortex. And instantly, life becomes better if only by attitude, if only by energy, if only by resolution and optimism. But those very qualities of person and character will then start making everything else in your life better. We will learn, actually, here's a fundamental thing that goes along with that choice. And I just finished covering this in depth in our webinar called The Balance of Life, What It Takes to Be Happy. And here's the fundamental difference between, it just occurred to me, the best way to describe this to you. When you're in the in-life struggle, where you're allowing suffering to dominate, I don't mean pain, I mean suffering. I mean the amplified pain that you're putting on it. When you allow it to dominate, Here's what you believe about happiness. You have to do something good, or something good has to happen to you before you can be happy. In other words, happiness is the result of getting a raise, winning the lottery, getting a new friend, having a successful venture of some kind, getting a vacation. In other words, it's the result of something. That's what it's like over here in the vortex of the world. That's what happiness is over there. Now, for the living soul, happiness is the cause of your success. It's the cause of how things get better. It's the cause of getting your new friend. It's the cause of your time off, because you've created this surplus of available time in which you so enjoy life. It's the cause of your healing. In the world, you say, well, if I could just get healed, I'd be happy. Here on the living soul, getting happy heals you. This was the basic, primary, fundamental demonstration of the whole life of Christ. And so when he said, come and follow me, like I said, he didn't mean for everyone to become an apostle or a miracle worker or someone who built congregations and told stories about his life. What he was talking about is come and be the living soul that you are with me. That together we may form a new community on this earth of 10 billion living souls. How different do you think this earth would be if everyone made that choice right now? And they could. It's within their power. You have that power to make that choice right now. And as you make the choice, the blessings that are given to you become multiplied in their expansion instead of being consumed with compound interest. There's a difference. It's huge. It's huge. And we've all gotten in trouble by following pathways of the world. And that doesn't mean that there are probably among us those who have never done a single sin by the laws of the Ten Commandments or by most moral prescriptions of sin. But it's basically a sin. It's a wrong path for a living soul to choose the world over being a living soul. And that's how we get in trouble. Doesn't matter whether it's in trouble with a relationship, or with a job, or with finances, or with projects never coming through, or with never seeing a happy day. It's the same fundamental mistake we all make. And today, in this blessing, I would really like to see us all make a choice about receiving the blessing as the living soul you are. Let us be prepared to begin. It's time for our blessing now. And sorry, I didn't ask for questions, but nobody came on the board. And it seemed like Yeshua really wanted to be the one who talked today. So I let him take the ball and roll with it. And here we are. It's time to receive the Christ energy within our self, our higher self, but also our body and being. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all are welcome. And all parts of you are welcome. Because all parts of you belong to God. But let us be here in a state of awareness of the living soul and receive in that way. Allow your mind to be on vacation. Sit comfortably in your chair. Allow your head to drop because you're not thinking. You're not focusing on anything other than the center of your being in your heart. Just being here as the being you are. And from the center of your heart, as soon as I finish my prayer of thanksgiving to Yeshua, you begin a prayer, however you would like to pray, for whatever you would like to pray, be it gratitude or request or forgiveness, whatever you need to pray. Pray during the time the energy is being given. And breathe. Breathe deeply. And as you breathe, breathe not just into your body, but breathe the spiritual air of the Holy Spirit that expands the parameters of your living soul. See how far you can push it out into the world. Breathe in to your body and the earth. Breathe out to expand the parameters of the living soul. Let us begin. I ask blessing givers to join me from around the world. We have someone close by, not too far from you, wherever you are. So know that you are being touched in spirit, in heart, in soul. Dear Yeshua, we thank you so much for your essential gifts to us, which have changed our life, body, heart, and soul. We thank you that your message is such a simple one, that we are redeemed as we know the truth of who we are, and that was your message to us. The choice is ours to make, and the life is ours to live, but we thank you for constantly giving us your love, your blessing, and being with us at times when we need to renew our decisions or make a fundamental decision for the first time in our life. We thank you now for sending your blessings to us and being in our presence, embracing us with your love. We ask to be open and receiving to all you have to offer, that you bring the presence of God and the Holy Spirit into our life now. Amen. The conveyance is complete. Now go and rest for 7 minutes or more. Receive, nurture yourself, be filled with the love of God and the grace and healing of the Holy Spirit. Bye-bye for now. Look forward to being with you next week, and know you are very loved. Until then, bye-bye.